Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait. The Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall. We built the pyramids. Math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. Danny Faulkner joins us. You've heard about the big super collider. This is a big thing. I mean, it's not just a big thing. It's really a big deal, and it's been years in the making, they say, that they are going to be able to peer into the very constituents of matter itself. They're going to figure out why particles have mass. You may not even ask those kind of questions when you wake up in the morning and eat your breakfast. They are going to, they say, be able perhaps to recreate circumstances on a very small scale that prevailed in our universe when our universe was also very, very small, very, very hot, right at the very beginning of that big bang everybody talks about. Dr. Danny Faulkner joins us. He's professor of physics and astronomy at the University of South Carolina, and he's speaker for the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Faulkner, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Does a careful observation of the universe around us as it is right now, does it permit us to turn back the clock to a point where we invariably have to conclude it all started with a big bang?
No, I don't think so at all. I think that's the way many people choose to interpret the data, but there are a number of different other possibilities.
Okay, let's talk about the super collider. What is this device, and why is it, at least according to those who designed it and plan to use it for experimental physics, why do they think they can peer into the origins of our universe such as they believe they were?
Okay, that's kind of far afield from what they're actually doing there. Particle collider is an attempt to break matter apart, to look inside to see how it works. It's sort of like disassembling a piece of machinery. You can take a clock or a machine of some sort, unscrew it, unbolt it, take it apart, see how the gears work, and so forth. We don't have little screwdrivers and wrenches to take apart atoms and subatomic particles, so we have to break them almost like a nut crack or like a hammer smashing it. And then you see the pieces that are left tells you what was in there. And that's been the way we've been probing subatomic particles for about 75 years. And we keep building bigger and bigger colliders where you take particles like protons and move them at a very high speed and smash them into other protons or other particles and then look at the pieces that come out of it. And we've been doing this over the past 45 years to support what we call the standard model of particle physics. They've got a very beautiful, very mathematical description of how matter works. And over those 45 years, they've predicted a number of particles that have indeed been found in various experiments. The one they haven't found is the Higgs particle, some people call it the God particle, because it does assign mass to all the particles in the universe. And the reason why we haven't found it is because it requires very high energies to get there. And this is the first particle accelerator in the world that can do that. And so it's hoped in the next few months and years, as they do their experiments, they'll be able to actually isolate one of these things. Now, where it comes into Big Bang cosmology is, according to that Big Bang theory, early in the universe, the energy was very high, and so the Higgs particles were very obvious at that point, where they're not obvious today. And it would have been a very important thing to fold into your Big Bang model early on in the universe, a fraction of a second after the Big Bang. And so by recreating these conditions that hypothetically existed in the early universe, you can hopefully get a better understanding of how to constrain your Big Bang model. What would be very interesting is if we fail to find the Higgs particle, because that would seem to indicate our models are wrong, and they have to go back and rework their Big Bang models all the way for this.
I recently read a book by a theoretical physicist. I think it's called The First 3 Minutes.
And yeah, that was Steven Weinberg, right? That 30 years ago.
It's an amazing book, and what struck me upon reading this, and I believe quite firmly in a literal biblical account of the creation, but what struck me was how you used the word elegant, how well the predictions, the mathematical predictions regarding these constituents of energy and matter fit with what we're actually finding experimentally. Someone might say, and many do, that means we are right, or they are right when they say everything can be turned back to a big bang.
Well, what we're talking here, though, about examining the universe as it now exists. You know, we can do experiments of how matter and how the world today works. That's what we call operational science. But then to take that data, take that model, that theory, and extrapolate it billions of years into the past, that's getting to what we call historical or origin science. And I'm of strong opinion that that's a very different proposition. You can test right now what happens right now in the world, but you can't test right now what happened sometime in the past in the world. And that's what confuses everybody here, is you can put together at best what might have happened in the past is one possibility, but there are many other possibilities, and it's very difficult, in fact, virtually impossible today to really, in a true scientific sense, ferret out between which of those possibilities actually happened. There are two different kinds of science that get mixed up here. I really applaud the particle physics they're doing. I really question the application to the Big Bang theory.
Should a Christian be alarmed to learn that you know, the old model was you got your protons and your neutrons and your electrons and maybe a few other exotic things out there that rarely appear. And then we find out, no, in fact, that those are not the constituent parts, that it's even smaller, maybe even goes down to tiny vibrating strings of energy. We don't know. Should that alarm Christians who have kind of taken a much simpler view of the world around them, the world that God created?
No, I have no problem with that at all. In fact, many of the other creation scientists who are physicists, we're pretty much agreed. We have no problem at all with these modern theories. In fact, they're very interesting. We don't think they're the last word, but I can see just a very beautiful symmetry that shows up in these things. To me, that's beautiful. That's art, and I think it speaks of the artistry of our Creator. And the kind of surprises we find, it's fascinating stuff. That's a totally different question, and I have no problem with that at all.
Does the scientific community that is peering into or trying to peer into the origins of the universe, either mathematically, theoretically, or through some sort of experiments, do they sometimes step out of their vocations and, I think you alluded to this before, engage in metaphysics?
Oh, yeah, they do it all the time. They sometimes don't call it that. Some of the more honest ones will give glory to God, I think, in this. Others, they've excluded the possibility of the supernatural, the possibility that there can be a creator or any reality beyond the physical world, and they then tend to show a lot of wonder about just the universe itself as pointless as it is, and that baffles me how you can do that. They think of the universe in almost a pantheistic terms. There's even a kind of return to Far Eastern mysticism, the yin and yang and so forth. That's crept back in into Western thought, into ideas of the origin of the universe. And apart from a creator, what else are you going to do? I mean, it's getting metaphysical, but not in the direction towards a Christian or theistic belief even, but a pantheistic, naturalistic sort of metaphysical sort of way of looking at things. Kind of creepy, actually.
We're talking with Dr. Danny Faulkner. He's professor of physics and astronomy at the University of South Carolina, speaker for Answers in Genesis, about the new super collider in Switzerland, some through its machinations, attempting to explore the origins of the universe. I'm sure it has some other practical purposes. It sure better have practical purposes. It's an awfully big piece of equipment. You can join us for the next 15 minutes of our conversation with him, 1-877-623-MY-IE. 1-877-623-MY-IE, or email us right here in the studio. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, September the 9th. I'm sorry, it's Wednesday, September the 10th. I'm going back in time. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. When we come back, well, it gets more and more complicated the more you look at the theories. Where we used to think we have simple particles of matter, now we realize we don't. Where we used to think we could define the world in simply what we see with our eyes, now it seems as though the world is far more defined by the mathematics of the thing. Are there real problems with things like the Big Bang Theory when your kid goes to school and comes home and says, Mom and Dad, they taught us today that everything that is once was much smaller, much hotter, and much more dense. And it all started with the point that expanded outward. and it's still expanding. I suddenly see the world around me in a whole new way. And what about what Dr. Faulkner raised just a moment ago? And that is this notion that those who even deny the Creator still find some strange way of marveling at the creation. 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. A little later, Greg Kokel's going to join us. Senator Joe Biden made some statements yesterday on embryonic stem cell research. He was talking about compassion for those children who are born with developmental disabilities. He says if you're really compassionate about people like that, then you would be in favor of embryonic stem cell research. How do you respond to that? Greg Kokel, founder and president of Stand to Reason, based at Signal Hill, will be our guest to answer that question on the other side of the break. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on the program, Dr. Albert Mohler will join us. The new atheists will be the subject. Dr. Faulkner, before we take this break with about 30 seconds, what's the biggest problem with the Big Bang Theory?
I would say it's a very plastic model. Every time some problem comes up, they just simply alter the theory and try to explain it by changing the theory. You know, the Big Bang model today is nothing like the one of 25 years ago. When a theory is that plastic, that formable, you can't disprove it. It really is not a good explanation at all.
We'll be right back with more on the Big Bang Theory and the new super collider in Switzerland. Dr. Danny Faulkner is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Death. Now, is it normal? Answers with Ken Ham, author of the powerful booklet, Why Is There Death and Suffering?
Now, death's certainly not okay or good, but we need to understand that the world we live in is not the world God originally made. We live in an abnormal world, and so we should expect death. According to Genesis, God created a perfect world, but Adam's sin brought an intruder into the world, death. God had to judge Adam's sin with death, and now everyone's under the death penalty. In fact, the Bible calls death an enemy. Yet our evolutionized society has indoctrinated people to believe we live in a normal world where death has been around for millions of years. I saw this clearly after the attack on the World Trade Center when people said to me, I'm glad I wasn't in the towers, I would have died. I had to gently remind them, guess what, you are going to die. I was really telling them that we live in an abnormal world ruined by sin, but we have hope for a normal world again. Christ conquered death at the cross, and one day he'll restore a normal world as it was in the Garden of Eden.
Have you ever wondered why God allows such terrible things as terrorism and warfare to occur? It's the theme of a booklet by Ken Ham, written right after 9/11. Because it's been shown to be a highly effective evangelistic tool, we'd like to send 10 to you for your gift of any size. Go to our website, answersoffer.org, or call toll-free 1-888-89-ANSWERS.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes with Dr. Danny Faulkner, professor of physics and astronomy at the University of South Carolina, speaker for Answers in Genesis. We're talking about the new super collider in Switzerland and some attempts to explore the origins of the universe. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. This email comes from John. He says, Dr. Faulkner, I'd like to take issue with Dr. Faulkner's comment on the distinction between operational science and origins science. He argues that scientists only have the present when they do experiments. However, he knows that when we see the sun, we're seeing it as it was 8 minutes ago, Alpha Centauri as it was 4.3 years ago. Through experiments in Switzerland, maybe in the present. Astronomers observe objects in the universe. They don't have the present, but they only have the past. How does he explain the fact that galaxies billions of light years away look younger, and the temperature of the cosmic microwave background radiation billions of light years away is higher, exactly in accordance with the Big Bang theory? Those two. What about looking out and seeing those, what sometimes look like embryonic galaxies so very, very far away?
I don't think they look like embryonic galaxies. One thing we see at great distance is that galaxies have the same structure they do nearby. We don't see any indication of evolution in the structure of galaxies. Now, the one thing I am aware of, as you go out at greater distance, galaxies at tremendous distance tend to be bluer in color. That's interpreted in terms of an evolutionary paradigm that you've got a burst of star formation early on. That's not a real clear inference, as near as I can tell, maybe consistent with the model. But what strikes me is the fact that we see what should be very young galaxies. They have the same overall spiral sort of structure that we have with nearby galaxies with no evolution, no obvious evolution in structure. And that's a problem that cuts the other direction. These galaxies should look younger according to structure, but they don't.
What about the temperature, this uniform temperature of the microwave background radiation?
Okay, the microwave background radiation is the one evidence for the Big Bang model. People try to shoehorn in several others, but that's the only one really out there. It was a prediction made in 1948 by the Big Bang model and confirmed in 1963, and I'm impressed with that. I mean, if I'm going to believe the Big Bang model, that's the one thing I would push. There are problems with that, the extreme uniformity that it has, and other aspects of it, but that is an impressive thing. And we are, you know, that's from a distant source, which it appears to be, then in that case we are looking, in effect, into the past somewhat. So I think the point that this fellow is making, I would have to agree to a certain point with him on that.
So you're not saying that there is an honest observation of things so far as we can observe them now would give no evidence for the Big Bang?
I'm not quite sure what you said again.
You're not saying that there's no evidence for the Big
Bang. No, I'm saying that there is evidence. The one evidence I would say would be the background radiation. It's something that anybody else who disbelieves the Big Bang has to explain. And there have been a number of explanations put forth. I don't find any of those convincing. So I'm not afraid to tell people that, you know, there is one bit of evidence for the Big Bang. And that's one. Doesn't mean it necessarily has to be the Big Bang, but it is a good evidence for a good prediction confirmed by data.
It seems you were saying that there are other conclusions one could draw from observing uniform background radiation.
Yeah, and I've seen some interesting papers lately on that. I've seen other papers in the past, but I'm not really being convinced yet by what this thing might be otherwise. But there are other interpretations. Anytime you find any kind of data, there are other ways to spin that or interpret that. We all do that. The scientists are real good at that sort of thing.
You said that the Big Bang Theory, perhaps its greatest weakness is that it's a wax nose and that it tends to change too often. Could you go into some more detail there?
Yeah, 25 years ago, the expansion rate was 50 kilometers per second per megaparsec. Now we're saying it's about 80, and that was changed, 15, 16 years ago. Back 25 years ago, you wouldn't have included dark matter or dark energy, two different things, but today you wouldn't dream of having a Big Bang model without including those into your model. Also, inflation really hadn't been developed yet. It was just starting to be developed. Models 25 years ago didn't have inflation in them. Today, you wouldn't think of not including those sorts of things. Inflation is this thing that's been invoked to try to explain some problems with the background radiation and something else in cosmology, and those have been invoked. And so I look at this, and I sit down, and I write down the two models and compare them for 25 years ago and today. And they're so different, and yet they were completely confident of what the model was then, and they're completely confident today. I'm thoroughly convinced in 25 years' time the model will be morphed once again to something else, almost unrecognizable. If you can take a theory and you can alter it and tweak it to conform to any new data that comes along, then that's not a falsifiable theory. You cannot disprove that theory. It's impossible to disprove it. And one thing many philosophers and scientists argue, that at least in theory, you have to be able to disprove your theory. And I don't think Big Bang's capable of doing that because it's so plastic and so formable.
Someone might ask, if we can look far enough with powerful enough unobstructed views in any direction, shouldn't we be able, since we're looking back in time, shouldn't we be able to see back all the way to the Big Bang if such an event actually occurred?
Well, and within the Big Bang theory, the background radiation comes from a time about 300,000 years after the Big Bang, where the universe is opaque. So there is kind of a wall you would hit there. And so when they talk about, you know, the Big Bang looking, the background radiation, you're looking back to the Big Bang. You're really looking back to 300,000 years after the Big Bang, and that, you can't look any farther than that.
Because it's opaque to light?
Yeah, it's opaque to light, and so you can't see past that wall. And the idea is that the wall was about 3,000 Kelvin temperature, and now it's cooled by a factor of 1,000 down to about 3 Kelvin. And that wall is pretty impenetrable with visible light. You can't go past that one.
What, according to the Big Bang theory, came before the Big Bang?
In the Big Bang theory, that question really doesn't make any sense. Because if you really understand what the Big Bang theory is all about, time began with the Big Bang. It was T equal to zero, time equal to zero. And in order to be before the Big Bang, you have to have negative time, something before zero, which can't happen in time. So time itself started there. So the concept of before the Big Bang makes no sense.
Well, that's very convenient, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's what the model is, though. And people ask, well, what was here then? Well, the thing is, here didn't exist either, because here denotes space. And the Big Bang was the sudden appearance of matter and energy and space and time. So I like to tell people when they ask, well, what was here then, according to the Big Bang model, before the Big Bang, I'd have to say, well, here wasn't here then, and then wasn't then either. So it may not be very satisfying to people, but that is what the model says.
Isn't that awfully close to creation ex nihilo?
Absolutely it is. It's the Big Bang, that's another problem I have with it. It's a metaphysical explanation. It's not a scientific one. You're allowed to have a metaphysical explanation. We invoke God as a creator. They invoke the universe itself as a creator. It just pops into existence. Neither one of those is really amenable to the scientific method, I don't believe.
I wanted to ask you about some other conclusions that have been drawn, especially when it comes to probing the very small. A lot of attention in the last 50 years has been paid to the quantum level of things so small that it baffles the imagination. And we're told there that at that very small scale, the rules that we all live by physically in this universe just don't apply. Should this overturn anything about an orderly creation from a divine creator?
No, I don't think so at all either. Again, I'm not alone. Other creation physicists, for the most part, don't have problem with quantum mechanics. We have problem with some of the interpretations of quantum mechanics. That's another issue, I guess. But the thing is, there's a fundamental uncertainty that seems to arise in quantum mechanics. But quantum mechanics has been a very robust theory, able to explain a lot of data, made a lot of predictions. It's been tested and retested, and very successful theory. Here's the problem. I don't think for a minute that quantum mechanics is a complete theory. There's probably a better theory beyond that. Just as classical physics, normal physics, takes over in a certain way from quantum mechanics, I think quantum mechanics probably is a special case of a more underlying theory beyond that. So I view quantum mechanics as kind of an intermediate step. We're going to replace it one day with something better, and some of these problems we sometimes see here from our worldview probably will go away once we get the more complete theory.
Do you think, since we have these various theories, these grand theories, grand in themselves, that are in some cases irreconcilable with one another, and yet they're both mathematically sound, do you think we'll ever arrive at what they think of as the one theory, the
ultimate theory of everything?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a long ways off the final theory. That's been the hope all along, to kind of work and pace these things together and come to a unifying theory behind everything. But I'm pessimistic that's going to happen anytime soon. There's a lot of work to be done yet, and I think a lot of surprises. For instance, getting back to this new collider in Europe, if it turns out the Higgs particle isn't found, that's going to shake a lot of our understanding of small particles and even touching into quantum mechanics, and you're going to have to go back and redo the theory quite a bit. And that's really a more exciting possibility than finding the Higgs particle, because we learn more by doing that.
Dr. Danny Faulkner is professor of physics and astronomy at the University of South Carolina, speaker for Answers in Genesis. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me.
We've got a link to Answers in Genesis under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org, click on demand, and you'll find under today's date a link to Answers in Genesis. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend the last few minutes of today's program with Greg Kokel, founder and president of Stand to Reason in Signal Hill, California. Joe Biden made some statements about embryonic stem cell research yesterday. We'll get his response after this.
It all started with the Big Bang. Music and mythology, Einstein and astrology. It all started with the Big Bang. It all started with the Big Bang.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Have you been hungering for a richer life of prayer and meditation on God's Word? Well, Concordia Publishing House is pleased to bring you Treasury of Daily Prayer. It's coming in October. To experience Treasury of Daily Prayer, click the book cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can order an advance copy of Treasury of Daily Prayer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.